Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Bethann, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Good morning to you and happy St. Patrick's Day.
I cannot go unsaid, right?
And you made sure that was so.
That's right. That's right.
Well, thanks very much for that. And we're hoping that you're having a good St. Patrick's Day, at least the start of it, too.
That's right.
Now, Democratic Party members affiliated with a candidate of their choice will make it expressly clear at the presidential preference poll, the Democratic Caucus, a week from this Saturday. And while supporters for Senator Sanders or Secretary Clinton like to tout differences, in certain issues, the candidates sound alike. Take an issue that for long-lived people in Hawaii is truly an issue, Social Security and Medicare. Both candidates say they will defend the program, but it's in the how they might do it that we asked Dan Adcock to weigh in. He's the Director of Government Relations and Policy for the National Committee to Preserve Medicare and Social Security. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann and Chris.
Good to have you here. As you are looking at the candidates, and you see that there may be some real similarities when you hear both Secretary Clinton and Senator Sanders say that they will defend Social Security and Medicare, is there really truly a difference in the approach that each takes?
Well, I think that's kind of been a moving target. But first, let me say, first off, my organization, the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, I just want to make it clear that we don't endorse on the presidential level, but obviously we have a great interest in what positions the candidates take on Social Security and Medicare. I think we've worked with Senator Sanders for a long time. He's been probably the chief advocate of our best advocate in the United States Senate. And obviously, we worked with Secretary Clinton when she was a senator. I think, over the years, they both have been great on our issues. Senator Sanders has been very clear about, where he is on Social Security issues, that he sees that the retirement crisis that we're facing, where middle-class workers have suffered under stagnant wages for nearly three decades and haven't really had the capacity to save enough in retirement, that Social Security is really becoming more important. So that's why, he supports not only ensuring that the program is solvent for the long haul, but includes some across-the-board benefit reductions. And Secretary Clinton is over time, in fact, made it very unequivocal at her victory speech earlier this week after she won in Ohio and elsewhere, she would oppose cuts to Social Security and would also improve benefits, which we were very happy to see. But the tack that she takes is a little bit different in that she wants to emphasize improving the program for people that need it the most, and she specifically targeted women through a couple proposals that would benefit them, and we certainly agree with that. We've had a campaign called Eleanor's Hope.
Right. I want to just stop you right there because I want to talk to you a little bit about this. But, with both of them saying that they want to protect it and they want to expand it, you've just made the point for Secretary Clinton looks a little different than it does for Bernie Sanders. But how do you expect that may be truly a defining line for a lot of people who are, for example, in our state, really dependent upon Social Security when they hear, both candidates say, yeah, this is very important. We have to protect and expand it.
Right. Well, I think that it's, they're coming at it from different directions. I think that slightly different directions, I should underscore. Again, I think that he sees that the program needs to be improved for everybody by doing things like a $65 a month increase and benefits for everybody, and to also have a more fair adjustment of inflation in the form of a cost of living adjustment. But he also specifically targets lower income Social Security beneficiaries, so they have a benefit that is at least equals 125% of poverty, where she supports proposals that would provide a caregiver credit, Social Security caregiver credit, to make up for the lost time that women disproportionately spend out of the workforce to care for kids and elderly parents, but also would improve survivor benefits so to ensure that they equal 75% of household income before their spouse passed away. So I don't, from our perspective, these are both great ways to address the program, to address, you know, the adequacy of the benefits that we really think is really going to become more important over time, especially because of the fact that people are going to have less income in retirement.
Dan Adcock, do you also see that each, you know, candidate's position is truly economically feasible?
Yeah, we do. And certainly the American people support it through all the polls that we've seen over the years, including one that the National Academy of Social Insurance did not that long ago, that people, this program is overwhelmingly popular both among Republicans and Democrats. And the polling has showed that not only, you know, do they support the program, but they would be willing to pay a little bit more in the form of payroll taxes to ensure that not only these programs continue for themselves and for their grandkids, but also to ensure that you have money left over to improve benefits. And so, you know, I think that through raising the cap on payroll taxes, right now you pay payroll taxes on the first $118,500. We just think it's a matter of fairness that everybody should have to pay 6.2% of their income towards financing the program. So I think there's definitely pathways to make changes like that to ensure that the program continues to provide retirement security to millions of people across the country.
But didn't Secretary Clinton say that she didn't want to raise taxes on anyone?
Well, she does. What she said is that she doesn't want to raise taxes on the middle class. And so, and I think that actually Senator Sanders is coming from a very similar position. He's introduced legislation that would keep the payroll tax cap at $118,500. You pay 6.2% on that income, but from $118,500 to $250,000, there would be no tax. But above $250,000, you would be paying 6.2% on any income earned above that amount. And so that way, you have a gap in there that protects people who, you know, by some definition, some people would consider middle class. And so that way you don't raise taxes on those particular individuals within that gap of $118,500 to $250,000.
And to be very clear, any attempt to do any sort of privatization you think is off the table?
Yes, certainly with both Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton, they've made it, they're unequivocal about opposing privatization, and we support that position. We think that, you know, we successfully fought President George W. Bush's proposal to privatize the program. We think it would have been a disaster just in transitional costs, and would have robbed the program of money that it needed to pay benefits through the traditional program.
Dan Adcock, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dan Adcock is the Director of Government Relations and Policy for the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. He is a former legislative director at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. You're listening to The Conversation on statewide member-supported HPR2. It's now 8:13. Coming up, Hawaii as design in a major exhibition at the Honolulu Museum of Art. But first, here's your backyard quiz.